November 2nd, 2005. Item number 101. Today's guest is Mark from the Tartan Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Mark, a couple of quick news and notes. First, this Saturday, November 5th, will be our monthly meetup for the Kansas City Podcasters. So if you're in the Kansas City area and you're interested in coming out and meeting other podcasters, or if you're a podcast listener and want to meet some of the podcasters or find out more about podcasting, come to Tom Foley's between 4 and 6 p.m. on the plaza. That's this Saturday, November 5th. I'd like to send out a special congrats to Ann at EatFeed and Doug Kay from IT Conversations. EatFeed was named Podcast of the Year by the Portable Media Expo and Podcasting Conference Awards Committee. And Doug Kay was named the Person of the Year in podcasting. Both are previous guests. Ann was our fifth guest on the show, and Doug we had on early in July. So again, congratulations to both. Both are definitely deserving, and I'm glad to see previous guests of ours getting the notoriety they so do deserve. I'd also like to mention that the interview PD did with me on the other side of the mic is up at lovehouseradio.com. So if you want to hear me getting interviewed, go over to lovehouseradio.com. There'll be a link in the show notes to the interview. As always, your comments, feedback, and tech tips are welcome at 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. Or you can send an audio clip to podcast411@gmail.com. Well, that's going to do it for the news and the notes. We're going to go ahead and first play a promo for the Tartan Podcast that Mark put together, and then we'll get right into the interview with Mark. Here we go.
You gotta have a promo. I can't believe he doesn't have a promo.
Man,
Why doesn't he have a promo?
You don't got no promo.
You gotta have a promo. Everybody knows you gotta have a promo.
Everybody kept saying, you need a promo. Do you have a promo? Why don't you have a promo? So here it is. It's my promo. I'm Mark, and I host and produce the Tartan Podcast. It's recorded in Glasgow, which is the music capital of Europe. And on the Tartan Podcast, you hear independent, unsigned, or underappreciated bands who record and produce their music in Scotland. Here are some examples. Take away.
I should have known.
A promo for the Tartan Podcast. Tartanpodcast.com is where you can subscribe to Scotland's first music podcast. And, well, everyone now just got off my back about the promo.
Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
And I'll start you out with traditional first question. And what was your first computer?
Well, my first computer was a Texas Instrument TI-99-4A. I remember it well. In fact, I remember the night that my dad purchased it and where we purchased it. I think it was in 1983, and it was purchased in a Woolco store in a place called Cumbernauld, just north of Glasgow.
I've had a couple people recently now, a few recently, that have been TI-99-4As.
Well, you know, there's an official website for it, and people are selling them on eBay. And I tell you what, it was an absolutely fantastic computer. I loved it.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
I remember it well. It was an edition of Insomnia Radio, Jason's music podcast. And I downloaded Don and Drew, Daily Source Code, Celtic Music News, and Insomnia Radio. And Jason's was the first that came up on the rotation on my iPod. Yep, so right away I thought, wow, new music, this is great. And just the bug bit right away.
What podcasts are you listening to now on a regular basis?
Just in the past week, there was a problem with my iPod, and you know, I had to restore it, so I lost everything. But it was a good opportunity for me just to go back and resubscribe and to add some new subscriptions. So I've been getting heavily into tech podcasts. Obviously, This Week in Tech, everything that Leo Laporte's doing, I've got it downloaded. I've got a new one called Geek Entertainment. I haven't listened to that yet, but that's there. I just subscribed to it today and I listened to maybe a couple of episodes at work. The Signal, which is the Serenity.
Yep.
podcast. Now, I hadn't heard of Serenity or Firefly, but, you know, wow, I can't wait to see this film now.
It's really good. Really, really good.
I've got Verge of the Fringe on there, Bitterest Pill, Extra Super Action Show. I don't listen to a lot of music podcasts because I feel it throws me off, believe it or not. Yep, so those are the ones that are on in an audio one called Tom Corvin, which has been podcasted by a Scottish author. I'd recommend that as well. That's a good one to listen to.
Okay, I'll have to check that one out. I haven't heard that one recommended before.
No, it's a good one. He's actually the guy that did it first, no matter what anybody else tells you. The author's called Paul Story, and he was podcasting his novel before anybody else thought of it.
Okay, Tom Corvin.
Tom Corvin, yep. C-O-R-V-E-N.
Your podcast is kind of split into three or four or five pieces, depending on how you look at it. What are the different shows that are on your feed? Tell the listeners a little bit about each one.
Okay. Well, they all come under the Tartan Podcast umbrella. That's the sort of, you know, the title of the show. So the Tartan Podcast itself is essentially a showcase where, you know, it's three songs by three different bands. Most of them, I haven't played the band before. I very rarely repeat tracks, even after almost 60 Tartan podcasts. I've always got something new to play. And that's really just, you know, no matter what the genre is, I'm going to play it. The Sleepy Sunday Show is one I do for the weekend, and I thought, well, I want to try and expand my horizons a little bit. So the Sleepy Sunday Show, again, it's mostly Scottish bands. The odd international artists will throw in, but it's got a kind of laid-back vibe. And my thinking behind the Sleepy Sunday Show was, you know, you can relax on a Sunday morning with some good coffee, the Sunday newspapers, and, of course, the Sleepy Sunday Show. So that was my thinking behind that. I also do a spotlight show where it's just one band or one artist, and these days I encourage them to send me a CD of them talking about their music, which I'll edit up with some of their music. And for a while I did a review show and an award show where month by month I would review all the tracks played and give the listeners a chance to vote, but that's on the back burner just now, just purely because I'm getting so much music that I feel I don't want to dedicate two shows a month to reviewing what's already been, you know, want to keep moving forward.
And you have the international show?
That's something really new. That's the international show is one that I added in just last week, and I'll maybe do it once a month. Because the Tartan Podcast is dedicated to Scottish bands, it means that a lot of the music I get submitted from international guys, maybe like Brad Sucks or IMG and various other different bands, I don't really have the vehicle to play them. So when you're doing a podcast, you can do what you like. So I thought I'll just throw another little show in there underneath the Tartan Podcast umbrella, where I'll just play maybe three or four tracks from international bands that caught my attention recently.
Now, on the original Tartan one, what exactly is the requirement for a song to be played on your show? I mean, when you say Scottish, does it mean that the band has to be from Scotland, or one of the band members is from Scotland, or how's your determination?
As long as it's that, definitely there's got to be a Scottish connection. Fortunately, most of the bands are from Scotland. I played a group called Murder the Stout. They're a kind of Celtic folk band, and they're in Houston, Texas, but the guy that submitted the music is Scottish. He's in the band, he plays the accordion. So that kind of thing, you know, if a band contacts me and say, I've got a Scottish grandmother, if there's even a tenuous link, there's a chance I'll play it. But for the most part, it's bands that are producing their music in Scotland and that are actually Scottish. You know, there's enough podcasts promoting bands from other parts of the world out there, so mm-hmm. The Scottish bands definitely deserve their own podcast.
And you had mentioned you play all genres, so it doesn't matter if, I mean, I was listening to some of the songs and they sounded almost like 80s dance hop. Yep. And one was R&B-ish, yep. And then you, like you mentioned, you had the Celtic swing to them, so you really do cover all the genres.
I think I just try and reflect my own taste in music. I'm not one of these people that, you know, that if you look at their CD collection, it's a pigeonhole just sitting there. My CD collection and my MP3 collection just covers everything. If I like it, then I enjoy listening to it. And it's exactly the same with the Tartan Podcast. And the bands in Scotland are producing, you know, every sort of music you can imagine. So if I've played punk, I've played electronic stuff, I've played really, really mellow folk pop, I've played some hard rock. In fact, the show that that's going to be coming out in the next day or so, all three songs are, you know, it's kind of like Linkin Park type of rock. So if I enjoy it, it's going to get played. One of the rules I set for myself back when I started was don't be genre specific.
So you are using all PodSafe music. Where are you getting the majority of your music from these days?
If virtually all of the music I get is submitted to me. Thankfully, I don't need to do the searches that I used to have to do back when I started. Obviously, this was back pre-PodSafe Music Network days, where I was going to GarageBand and MySpace and searching for locations. So I was, you know, trawling through Europe, trawling through Scotland, trying to find good music. Thankfully, those days are behind me, where every other day I get several submissions from Scottish bands, so it just saved me so much work.
Obviously, you're getting a lot of feedback and email from the band's point of view. What's one of the more memorable feedbacks you've received from a band that you've played?
One young girl, I mean, she's only 17. She's a singer-songwriter. She lives just a couple of miles away from me. And I played one of her tracks. I think it was either the first or the second Sleepy Sunday show. And she emailed me a couple of days afterwards, really enthusiastically saying that she'd sold her first CD in America and that the hits to her website had doubled since she was played in the Tartan podcast. So that just makes you feel great.
Yeah, that makes you feel really good.
It does, you know, and it's somebody, it's not like an established artist. So it's like, you know, a couple of CD sales doesn't matter. This girl, her and her father, they've paid to have her CD pressed. And, you know, she's grinding away. She's working hard. She's still at school. But people in America are buying her CD. I mean, before podcasting, that would never have happened. And it isn't an isolated incident. Several bands have emailed me back to say, I've sold a CD in LA, I've sold a CD in California, I've sold a CD, you know, in New York. For bands in a small country that can be quite insular, like Scotland is, that's huge for them to be getting an audience in America and in Asia and around the world. So that sort of thing's always gratifying. But probably the best bit of feedback I got, and the most encouraging, was from Yardley Smith, who's the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd heard the Tartan podcast.
Wow.
And she'd sent me an email, and she also sent me a letter as well. She posted me a letter that was just really, really encouraging. And a signed script and, you know, a signed photograph of Lisa Simpson. And then she agreed to cut a little promo for the Tartan podcast as well. So she's been in regular contact. And it's great when, you know, people... established people.
Did you ask her how she found out about your show?
So there's a thing on NPR called The Word, which is a sort of technology news radio show that the BBC put out, and one of the guys from there called Clark Boyd had interviewed me long before, you know, the press in the United Kingdom had even picked up in podcasting. This was back in April. So I think early May, the NPR thing ran, and, you know, I get so many great emails from that where people had, you know, heard me speaking on the radio and they've rushed into their computers to log onto my website. So Yardley Smith and her husband Dan happened to be listening to this radio show in the car and seemed to be quite taken with the Tartan podcast, and, you know, been in regular contact since. And in fact, they're taking me out for lunch when I'm over at the expo.
Wow.
In November. Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely not somebody you would have met if it hadn't been for podcasting.
This is exactly it. Definitely.
Tell our listeners where to locate your show.
It's very easy, tartanpodcast.com, and Tartan is T-A-R-T-A-N. Tartan is, of course, the design on the fabric that people wear when they wear a kilt. I think in America it's
called... Of course, I knew that.
Yeah, you knew that? Yeah.
No, I didn't. I had no idea. I was going to ask you, actually, it was one of my questions. Where did the name come from? But now I...
Yeah, Tartan is sort of like the sort of traditional Scottish fabric. You know, you know the thing, plaid, the checks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And traditionally in Scotland, each family has their own tartan to sort of mark them from the rest.
What are you using on the hardware side and the software side to create and edit and do your show?
On the hardware side, you know, just like everyone else, large diaphragm condenser. I don't have a Behringer mixer, but I do have a Yamaha MG10-2 mixer, which has just been so solid. And I used to have a compressor gate limiter, but I ditched that. I just try and keep it pretty pure now. And on the software side, I use Adobe Audition.
How do you like Adobe Audition?
I used to record live, so I was mixing everything. You know, I used Mixcast Live, and I used to just bring in the tracks. And I just used Audition to capture. But now that I'm using it to actually mix, it's so powerful and really unbelievably easy to use. It's never ever let me down, you know. Even just panning, you can pan the tracks left and right. So many little things that you can do, and Adobe just make it so easy.
When I interviewed P.W. Fenton, he's an Adobe Audition person, and yeah, he gave a great comment on it. He goes, you know, he's got a Mac for other things, but mm-hmm. he stayed with the PC just so he could keep using Adobe Audition.
Yeah, I heard that one, actually, and it was P.W. was one of the guys that sort of put me onto Adobe Audition ages ago on his podcast, and it does take a little bit of time just to get used to it, but once you've mastered it, you know, and it doesn't take long to master it, then it's so easy.
I just hear so many good things about it, so when people ask me on the PC side what they should use, I always tell them, if they got the money, go get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pricey, and of course, you know, Audacity's free, but it's just not as pain-free doing it on Audition.
You can get a used copy on eBay pretty cheap.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing to generate some revenue for your show. I noticed on your website you mentioned you just had a deal with Is This Music magazine. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no money involved in that whatsoever. The Is This Music magazine sort of partnership, if I can even call it a partnership. It's twofold. It's to help me get a bit of kudos with the Scottish music scene, because Is This Music magazine is sort of like the underground Rolling Stone of the Scottish music scene. So for me, hooking up with these guys, they're going to help get the bands to get in contact with me, and I'm happy to return the favour. You know, I'll mention them on my website, I'm going to mention them on my podcast, and if it helps them sell a few magazines, then excellent, because I get so many requests from listeners. Can you tell me more about this band? Do you know when that band's touring? All that sort of information Is This Music magazine, you know, so it's a one-stop shop for people wanting to know more about the Scottish music scene. I'm not an aficionado of the Scottish music scene, I just so happen to do a music podcast that plays music from the Scottish music scene. So these guys at Is This Music magazine, they're the experts. There's no money changing hands at all, I'm just happy that they're willing to help me out, you know.
So this is more what you're doing, because my next question was going to be, what are you doing to promote your podcast outside of the podcasting community? And that sounds like this deal with the magazine is definitely one of those things.
Yeah, they've actually, in the past two issues, they've run, one guy did 2 months ago, I think it was, he did an interview with me for his piece. The last issue, there's a commercial radio DJ's got a column in it. He did a piece on podcasting, and he'd done a little interview with me, and he thinks podcasting's powerful, but it's never going to beat radio. Well, we'll see. So I've been mentioned twice in the magazine, and that helps. Aside from that, I don't do anything to promote the Tartan Podcast at all. I've avoided a lot of promotion because I just don't like, and I don't ever feel comfortable with that, you know. I've gotten lucky in that the BBC Tech website ran a piece back in June that basically took care of a whole load of promotion. They did it for me without me even knowing it was going to happen. I've avoided sort of newspaper stuff. The local news, TV news, were going to send a crew around, and I said no. I knocked that back as well. I don't really like the limelight. I'd rather just do the podcast.
Other people are out there begging for their local newspapers to come and interview them.
I know. I realise that, and I kind of feel bad. A few people have looked at me as if freaking nuts.
Yeah, that was that was the look on my face a few seconds ago.
And I can understand it, but for me, doing the Tartan Podcast is still a hobby. I mean, it's becoming a way of life, but for the most part, it's still a hobby, and having any degree of limelight is something that I'm still not used to yet, you know. That's one of the reasons, and I know you're going to ask me about Podshow at some stage, but that's one of the reasons why I decided to sign up with Podshow, because when it comes to marketing and promoting, I'll happily leave that to them.
Okay, and that would lead us back to, what are you doing to generate the revenue? And part of that, I mean, is you signed as a producer for Podshow, right? Is that
exactly
how it's considered?
Yeah, we're considered as producers, and there's a large degree of independence still involved. You know, we're not employees of Podshow, but we're contractors. When I'm saying we, I'm talking about guys like Big Mike, Canis Lupus, Mina Marie, Julian Smith and Ovi Head, Marcus Couch. Guys like CC, Don and Drew, that's a separate, you know, they've got a separate contract with Podshow.
You think?
they do. Well, I think they're classed as employees, I'm pretty
sure. Yeah, I think that's they're.
We're contractors, so we still get a degree of independence. And, you know, it's something I did sort of wrestle with when they approached me. But then I just was so flattered that out of, you know, X number of music podcasts, they wanted me on board. And, you know, you can look at what Podshow's doing, and they're going to be pretty hefty. They're going to be pretty powerful. And if they're going to take care of marketing and promoting, and hopefully putting my way the means to generate some revenue through time, then I was happy to go with them. And the revenue, as far as I can see it, is going to come through advertising. Through time, there's nothing at the moment, but through time that will be in place on the Tartan Podcast.
To someone who's starting out a podcast, what advice would you like to offer to them?
I've been speaking to people about this recently. I'm doing a little bit of work with some people in the Scottish Executive just to try and get various different charities and so forth involved with podcasting about their cause. And the one thing that I've been saying again and again and again, and I know you'll have heard that again and again and again, is be passionate about what you've got to say. I think that just makes the key difference. For all, you know, what you've got to say might not appeal to everyone, but if you're at least, passionate about it, then that can be infectious, and people can go, yeah, okay, you know, I want to listen to what you've got to say. you'd have to add in with that, have something to say. Don't just podcast because it's this cool thing and everybody's doing it, as it would seem. Actually have something to say and then, you know, be passionate about it. Forget hardware, forget software. Just get your passion and get your content in place first.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It was a pleasure, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Mark from the Tartan Podcast. Mark, thanks so much again for coming on the show. And I highly recommend everyone check out his podcast at tartanpodcast.com. That's T-A-R-T-A-N podcast.com. Well, coming up at the end of today's podcast, we're going to play a promo from the Screencast podcast. So stick around for that. And immediately following the promo, I'm going to play some feedback received from Steve over at the Mac Attack podcast. And as always, we're looking for your feedback, tech tips, or rants at 206-666-HELP. That's 206-666-4357. Or you can send audio clips to podcast411@gmail.com. Next week, I'll be at the Podcast Expo in Ontario, California. For anyone who is going to the Podcast Expo, there are a couple ways to get a hold of me. One, you can send me an email, and I'll send you my cell phone number, and you can call me, and we can arrange something at the show just to meet. But also, on Friday and Saturday at 2:40 p.m. local time, I will be at the Podcast Pickle booth, and I'll be doing a podcast from the booth from 2:40 to 3 o'clock. So I'll probably get there about an hour before, and I'm sure I'm going to stick around afterwards because Nate and Di and Soccer Girl are following me, and I'll definitely be sticking around to talk with all of them afterwards. Time once again for me to swallow my pride, because it is that time of the month again. That time of the month where I ask for you to go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Podcast 411. It's that time of the month where I ask for you to go over to Podcast Pickle and pick me as one of your favorites, show number 97 on the Pickle. Time to go over to Odeo and subscribe to Podcast 411. And let's not forget iTunes. Subscribe for Podcast 411 there. And then there's podcast.yahoo.com. Is that so much to ask? Yes, folks, things are getting a little out of hand out there. But first, I'd like to thank Angie Stone and Mahogany Soul, whose song I conveniently ripped off from iTunes to put in the background music there. And that song is called Time of the Month. Yes, I tried to have a little fun with it. There's way too much begging and sites to go out and ask everyone to do to expect you as the listeners to go out and subscribe and vote at all those different sites. If there is one that you happen to use regularly and you're there and you think about it, pick us while you're picking yourself. Otherwise, don't worry about it. That's going to do it for us today. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Hi, Rob. This is Don from Screencast Online, congratulating you on your 100th show. You know, I think you've hit upon a great idea interviewing podcast listeners. Your 100th show should be made mandatory listening for anyone doing a podcast. So once again, congratulations, and let's hear from some more listeners. Now, I know you won't mind me slipping in a quick promo about something a bit different, not podcasts this time, but screencasts. Screencasts are video tutorials using screen capture technology and audio narration. Okay, so basically it's a video where you can see me doing what I'm doing on my Mac screen and at the same time listen to me explaining what I'm doing. All in glorious high-resolution video and audio on your PC or Mac. Oh, and yes, as well as viewing the tutorials on your desktop, you can now download and view the entire back catalogue of tutorials on your iPod. There are screencasts on creating and recording your own podcast, demonstrating cool Mac applications, and lots of OS X hints and tips. And starting this week, there's a series of video tutorials specifically for Mac switchers on the basics of OS X. So if you're new to the Mac, or a PC user who just wants to see what all the fuss is about, then head over to www.screencastsonline.com. And you can also subscribe via the iTunes Music Store. Just search for Screencast Online and subscribe to either the desktop or iPod edition, or both. Cheers, Rob.
Hi, Rob. This is Steve Stanger, the host of the Mac Attack podcast, and was playing some catch-up this weekend as far as some older podcasts or last week's podcast that I haven't had a chance to listen to. So I listened to the last two Podcast 411's great shows. The one with Heather Green was awesome. And before I forget, congratulations on 100 shows. That one with Jeff, a podcast listener, was so informative as far as him as a listener, how he discovers new podcasts, what he's looking for in podcasts, plus his specific insight also being somebody that worked in the entertainment industry, and as far as content is great, but if the quality's not there, then it's hard to listen to. But if the quality's there and there's no content, then there's no reason to go back week after week. So as somebody that produces and hosts my own podcast, it was definitely informative, and I would actually like to hear more podcasts or more interviews, I guess I can say, you can say, from that perspective, from the listener, how they discovered what they find helpful about podcasts, you know, as far as show notes, the details in those show notes, or show notes a waste of time to people that listen? I don't know. But again, congratulations for 100 shows. I, you know, can't wait to hear your upcoming programs too, but that one with Jeff was awesome. Thank you. Bye-bye.